Sermon was not going well at all. The pastor was frantically trying to find an exit point to stop it midway through, and suddenly he had a great inspiration. He looked up, and he kept looking up. And he looked up long enough that suddenly everyone in the congregation was looking up too. That stopped the sermon and started the questions. After the service ended, the pastor was asked by one of the congregants, "Why were you looking up?" And he said, "Well, with everyone rolling their eyes as much as they were in my sermon, I figured there was something up there." Up or down? I can never keep it straight. As a runner, am I supposed to look up toward where I'm headed, or down to try to avoid a repeat of my trip and fall over on Iron Avenue a year ago that resulted in that dislocated shoulder? When I'm walking Kate through either the neighborhood or in Sunset Park in the way too early pre-dawn hours, should I be looking down or should I be looking up, aware of those ever-present tree limbs that have on more occasion poked me in the eye? When Diane and I lived in Europe, we met up with my parents for a glorious weekend in Florence. There, because pigeons are plentiful and well-fed, and Italians seem disinclined to cleanliness, one of our quartet was assigned each day when we walked out on the streets as a point person leading up ahead of the group, eyes fixed firmly upon the sidewalk so we wouldn't step in things. Look up or look down. You might remember a video played during our alt service back in November, a preview of the midweek manna meal and service. The British video was titled just that, "Look Up." It was an encouragement to viewers to unplug their phones, to cut down use of social media, to engage with each other, look each other in the eye. Look up or look down. The disciples in our reading faced the same dilemma, you know, and the far from definitive answer for them is the same as for us. It depends, often on the context, sometimes up, sometimes down. For those disciples, the ascension might well have represented a case of deja vu, honestly. Because truthfully, if we're to believe what was written in Luke, which you heard from Randy, they'd seen it all before. At the end of Luke's gospel, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus bid them adieu. And then in the opening chapter of Acts, which you just heard from me, Jesus does it all over again, or does it the first time, or something. So maybe instead of worrying about looking up or down, we ought to be closing, or like that congregation, rolling our eyes a bit. So should we be disturbed that Luke appears to report the ascension in two different ways? Did the ascension occur on Easter evening, according to Luke, or 40 days later, according to Acts? Many reasons have been devised to explain the contradiction. I think my favorite was the assertion not only that Luke was careless, but that he'd written Acts so much later in his gospel and in his life that he forgot what he'd written before. There is a reason to look up. Here's the thing, though. As Will Willimon points out, Luke was an artist. He wasn't a historian, nor was he a newspaper reporter. Another scholar says Luke had no intention of writing a scientific, disinterested history. So the contradiction in these accounts of the ascension are clues really to Luke's intentions. It's a challenge to us to look up, to look more closely, to look at the context of the ascension in each text. Because in Luke, the ascension is a conclusion, a dramatic finale to Jesus' earthly ministry when he's taken up in glory. In Acts, on the other hand, the ascension is the beginning, a presupposition on which our church, our lives, our journeys as disciples is based. The end becomes the beginning as the story continues. So Luke is looking at the same ascension from differing points of view, drawing from it different implications for the community. In Acts, two languages then are used to describe what's happened to Christ. One, the language of resurrection victory over death, and in the other, the language of ascension, sitting at the right hand of God and the empowerment of the church. So the question remains, do we look up? Do we look down? The answer is whatever helps each of us move forward. It's not just about looking up, it's about taking steps, as noted by a 16th century Spanish mystic, Teresa of Avila. She wrote this: Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out on the world. Yours are the feet with which he's to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless his people. So God's presence in our lives isn't limited to contact with a physical person, but with the ever-present Spirit. And as disciples, we're witnesses, as Christ's body in the world, filled with that Spirit, we're participants in God's presence in the world. It's all so confusing, though. We might be forgiven if we too end up like those befuddled disciples, simply standing and staring up right into space. What is it we're supposed to do? Who can we rely on? Who can understand that Christ is exalted and reigns over all creation? And above all, what should be our next steps? Look up or look down? Peter Gomes, chaplain at Harvard, once wrote, "We're not permitted the luxury of gazing at Jesus' feet, of looking down. No, we have to look up. We have to look at the world. We have to get on with Jesus' work." We're called then to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're called then to sing together and to live out the words of the ancient African-American spiritual: "Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Hold my hand, Lord, while I run this race. Hold my hand, Lord, while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Stand by me, Lord, while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. I'm your child, Lord, while I run this race. I'm your child while I run this race. I'm your child while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Search my heart, Lord, while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Guide my feet, Lord, while I run this race. Guide my feet, Lord, while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.